Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Wow, you are like at Disneyland today on Kingdom Pursuits because you got so much fun coming at you. I mean, I got to tell you that you're going to be so glad you tuned in today. Or I'm just glad that I can listen to all this because it's going to be so much fun. First off, we have a couple of authors with us. We have William Bill Morris. We call him Bill, but his name's actually William Morris. And he wrote a book called This Magic Moment, A Journey of Faith with Friends and the Father's Love. And you're going to hear how he was at least got to sing with the Drifters and the Moonglows. It's going to be awesome. So we're anxious to hear about that. And then we also have a good friend of mine. His son used to work for me selling cars, but he is an author. God gave him a passion for the Bible in that route. And so his book is Route 66, Have You Found Your Route in Life? And so that's really cool. But then on top of that, at 11:30, we have the second episode of Jesus Junkets. Unbelievable story of Brother Andrew going in behind the Iron Curtain. It's epic. It's dangerous. You're going to be so excited to hear that story. And then Encouraging Prayer comes on right after that. So we are loaded for bear today on Kingdom Pursuits. So first off, we got Bill. Welcome, Bill. So where are you calling us from today?
Robbie, I'm in Jackson, Mississippi.
Wonderful. I love Jackson, Mississippi. That's a beautiful place. I bet it's a lot warmer there today than it is here.
Well, it is. It's a bit rainy, but the weather's very pleasant otherwise, and so I'm thankful to be talking with you guys.
So,
where are you calling from?
We are in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So,
okay,
you had a magic moment, but I'm guessing it was more than just a moment.
The magic moment is a metaphor for the whole experience. And by moment-at-moment experiences as well, anything that happens throughout the book, I realized was a moment that truly was magical by the grace of the Father's hand.
Yeah, isn't it cool the stages that he allows us to play on at times?
Yeah.
And so also, Herb, you know, I've known you for years. Certainly your wife was my kid's.
That's right.
Was she a seventh grade teacher, sixth grade teacher?
Fourth
grade teacher. Both Robbie and Tess. Yeah. Two of my three kids got Mrs. Burns, you know, as a teacher. And so now I get a chance to see what you're teaching through Route 66, which may have to do with 66 books, I'm just guessing.
You're exactly right. 66 books in the Bible.
And you know, that's magical. So, Jasper, speaking of magic, you know, the other day I saw a magician walk down the street, and you're not going to believe this, he turned into a drugstore. It'll come to you in a minute. Okay. Come on now, that's pretty funny, Jasper, don't you think? So I once saw a magician get so mad, he pulled his hair out. That could happen. And if, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if you fire a magician, you know what happens? They get disillusioned. And that's horrible. They're never working again. And my personal favorite of my magician jokes this morning. When the snake charmer went to get dressed up, when she went to get dressed up, she put on an extra garter. That's just, you know, what are you going to say about that? So here comes the actual riddle that you can call in and win today if you can answer this Bible riddle. In which verse in Ezekiel, I gave you the name of the chapter, which verse in Ezekiel does the Lord declare that women have the right to bear arms? and an obligation to lose their charms. Okay, in which verse of the Bible... This is a hard riddle, I know, so we're really testing you today. Which verse of the Bible did the Lord declare that women have the right to bear arms and an obligation to lose their charms? 866-348-7884. Don't let me stump you today. You only have a half an hour to get this because we got Jesus Junkets coming on. So you got to call early, 866-348-7884. And if they can guess that riddle, Jasper, tell them what they'll win.
Quite a prize package today. They'll win a copy of Route 66, a copy of This Magic Moment, and tickets for Wake Forest's football game against NC State.
So, wow, we are even loaded for bear on the prize giveaway today because we know that this is not your average riddle, you know, that Jesus is clearly the answer, but, you know, it might be that he's the answer on this one too. But 866-348-7884, we want to give all that stuff away to the lucky winner. And moving on. So, Bill, it looked like you actually got a chance to hang out with some pretty famous artists. And how did that happen? And, I mean, kind of get into that for us.
Well, I was in Washington, D.C. in 1980 for an insurance convention. And that's my primary way I earn a living, as president of an insurance firm. Anyway, my wife could not be with me, but I sought out a high school classmate. We headed to a place called Hogate's, which was a very, very nice restaurant. I'm not sure they're still in business, but be that as it may, they had a lot of entertainment going on at that time. And on this particular night, the Moonglows were performing. And the Moonglows, of course, were famous for so many wonderful songs. So around the mid-50s to late-50s, early-60s, Sincerely would probably be their greatest hit. But also they did one called The Ten Commandments of Love. Anyway, at intermission, I went up to say hello to them. And they welcomed me in. And Clyde McFadder, who was one of the greatest tenors in all of rock and roll, he was the lead tenor for the Drifters at that time, in their earlier stages. Anyway, I got to carrying on with them and singing over there with Clyde's son, Billy McFadder. Well, the other guys were rehearsing. Bobby Lester, who was their virtuoso lead singer on most of their songs, on most of the Moonglow songs, heard me. He'd been kind of coaching some of these other guys that were now in the group. And they stopped their rehearsal and came over and gathered around me and finished up the song with me. I was doing a song called Daddy's Home, made famous by Shep in the Limelights, 1961, I believe it was. At the end, he said, "Come on, baby, you got to do that song with us. You do the lead on this thing, and we'll back you up." I said, "Man, I've never even had a mic in my hand. I'm not about to mess up your show." Well, long story short, it happened. And then all these other singers in the audience were coming up to me, wanting to know what group I was normally with. So I knew that something very unusual had happened. I mean, way out of the ordinary. That just, I mean, these guys had never laid eyes on me. On the way back home, on the way back to the hotel in the taxi, I was looking out the window, and there was this huge full moon. And I thought of the Moonglows. First time I heard them, and all, I said, "Lord, did this really happen? What is this about?" I was just perplexed. And then I heard that voice, an inaudible voice, say, "Bill, this is about my glory, and I'm going to reveal to you in due time what I mean." About a year later, I picked up the Clarion Ledger, Mississippi's largest newspaper. The whole front page was covered with a story by Prentice Barnes, the original bass singer who was disabled and living in Jackson. He'd been in a train car collision a few years before. Then the voice hit me again. Chills were going up my back. I heard the voice say, "Now do you know why you sang with the Moonglows? Now go take care of it." And that began a mighty friendship that lasted 26 and a half years. He was truly almost dead when I found him. He's the most forlorn individual I'd ever talked to.
Wow, we got to go to a break. All right. We got another segment here with Herb Burns, his book, Route 66 or Route 66. You can say tomato, tomato, or route or route. Have you found your route in life? We're going to talk about that more from This Magic Moment, so stay tuned. Which, by the way, both books are at kingdompursuits.com. You can go order them there. And don't forget to call us. We got this riddle. We need the riddling. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom today. We're so blessed to have with us Bill Morris. He's the author of This Magic Moment, Journeys of Faith, Friends, and the Father's Love, as well as Herbert Burns. He's the author of Route 66, Have You Found Your Route in Life? And as I mentioned, both books are available there at kingdompursuits.com or on Amazon, but you can find them both. Just click on them and order them, and as well as, you know, a little bit about the story. But we're interested now, Herb, how did you feel God led you to start this project of Route 66?
Well, thank you, Robbie. When I was working as an instructor at Forsyth Tech, there was something I was trying to do, I guess from a proudful situation. I was trying to be recognized, and it took a lot of work. I worked on this for a year, and it required a lot of people being involved in what my effort was, and I failed. But being competitive, I tried to do it again the following year, and I failed again. So I reached a point where I said, God, you know, I surrender. This must not be your will, and I'm not going to pursue this route anymore. If it's your will, it will be done. So I reached a point where I said, God, you know, what can I do for you? It's not, God, what can you do for me anymore? So I was still and listened, and guess what? The following year, what I was trying to accomplish came seeking me out, and I was one of five people in America that accomplished what I was trying to do. But, you know, I said, what can I do for you? His response back to me was, Herb, use your talents to spread my word. So I had to think for a minute. Well, I'm an architect. I teach animation. I teach game design. I've taught classes in Ukraine with Triad Success Partners. Gee, what am I going to do? So I said, well, you know, I've read in your Bible. I really don't know your word. You know, I'm a Christian. I go to Sunday school class, and I read the verses in the Bible, but I have never read the Bible from beginning to end. So Route 66 is my journey from Genesis through Revelation. So each book of the Bible that I read, my heart was moved to create a context, to create an application for a real world in Christian living. And I also did a digital painting for each book of the Bible. So this
now, which, by the way, is a real treat.
Oh,
are
thank
the
you.
Digital paintings inside this book when you see it, is that, you know, here's somebody who was just moved by this book, and then he's an artist, so he creates his painting, and even cooler, he takes the faces of people that you felt were inspiring along the way and used those, incorporated them in the illustrations.
Oh, yeah, I was up in King one day with my wife. We were trying to get some weed killer for our kudzu, and in walks this this gentleman. He's got a beard, and you know, I look him in the eyes, and it's just like my spirit is attached to him. So I'll go up and I ask him, I said, my name's Herb Burns. I'm writing this book about the Bible. Would it be possible if I took your picture and used it as in my Bible book that I'm creating? He said, well, sure. So he signed a release. His name is Morris Niece at LTD up in King. And he became the face of Paul in my book. So anytime you see Paul in one of my illustrations, that's Morris.
There's all these different faces that you're going to see throughout the book, and so many wonderful illustrations. Well, William, as I was listening and processing what you were saying, somehow or another I missed that. Well, I got the part where you got a chance to sing with the Moonglows and what happened there with those people. But why did that experience, when you said the small voice said to you, now do you know why I had you sing with the Moonglows, or why I gave you the opportunity to sing with the Moonglows? How did that connect to what you just read there in the newspaper? I guess I missed that somehow.
Well, he sent me because Prentice needed someone in his life. He was pretty much unknown, even though he had, in my opinion, certainly one of the very best bass voices in all of rock and roll. And when I found him, I mean, when he answered the phone, you should have heard him say, hello. The man bereft of any joy, nothing going on. He was an alcoholic. He was broken spiritually, emotionally, physically. He had lost one arm and a crushed hip in this train car collision he had had. He was a man just about to leave this earth. Anyway, he didn't even have any of the records that they had recorded. They had recorded all these famous songs and all, and then but he had none of it. He had nothing, no joy in his life. And I convinced him to let me pick him up and take him over to a friend's house who had every single song they'd ever recorded. Did that, and then before I knew it, a few years ago, about 5 years had gone by, and they were being honored. Well, it was longer than that. It was 10 years had gone by, and they were being honored out in L.A. And he wanted me to go with him to the Rhythm and Blues Foundation Pioneer Award.
And so, did you actually lead him to Christ at some point, Bill?
Well, I can't say that I led him by. I mean, God.
Or you were? Yeah, I know God would have done it, but
I was a vehicle.
Yeah.
That God used. Now, if you want to know something specific about that, further on in our journey, see, the Moon Glows had broken up, as so many of those groups did. They actually disbanded on stage at a performance somewhere around 1960. So Harvey Fuqua, who later became a very close friend of mine, Harvey married Berry Gordy's sister, you know, the Motown fame. Anyway, Harvey helped to arrange all that stuff, brought Marvin Gaye in the business and all that. There was still tension between them. And I was sitting in church, and God said to me again, that inaudible voice said, Bill, I want you to call Harvey and tell him how much I love him. I want you to tell him that Prentice loves him and that you love him. I said, well, I can do that. So sure enough, I did. I called him and I told him that. He said, Bill, what am I supposed to do with that? I said, accept it. So he, you know, we talked for a little while long. Next thing I know, they've gone to Boston to sing in Symphony Hall at the Doo-Wop Hall of Fame. And when Prentice gets back, he calls and said, Brother Morris. He called me Brother Morris. We'd sing in his church a lot and all that. He said, I ain't never seen Harvey like that in all my life. I said, what do you mean, Prentice? He said, he just looked after every need I had. You know, I have such a hard time with that tuxedo and the buttons without, you know, with just one arm like that. He said, Brother Morris, he cared about him. He bought all my meals. He talked about us going on the road again.
Wow.
He said, I just don't know what to say. I said, well, let me tell you what happened last week. And I told him.
I hate to cut you off, but we got to try to get equal time here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that I can see God clearly was at work, and it's going to be clearly at work throughout the entire book. As you can see, it's called This Magic Moment. It's available again if you go to kingdompursuits.com. But I also wanted to give Herb a chance to, you know, of all the different chapters that you obviously had a chance to write to, which one are you going to be the most excited that people get to read? Like, oh, man, I can hardly wait till they read the chapter about.
Well, in Nehemiah, when I was in Ukraine, I had a really injured moment. I was in a car and I hit a bump and it just threw my back out of whack. And I could barely walk. When I walked, it was hard to breathe. And my translator was Pavlo. And Pavlo carried my bags around wherever we went. I mean, he had a servant's heart. And just like Nehemiah, he was a servant to the king and he had to have a servant's heart as well. So Pavlo became the face of Nehemiah in my book, because of his servant's heart. And, you know, that's something that I will remember forever, his service to help me out.
You know, and how cool that God gave you that opportunity to, you know, go through the Bible and also find people that obviously, you know, it's just neat that you connected faces, which are literally in their own way an image of God, right?
Yeah.
Faces to things that were being spoke of.
I got to share just one more story quickly. My wife and I were out at Mount Rushmore, and I see this man off at a distance. If we have to take a break, let me know.
No, we're okay.
Off at a distance, I see this man walking towards me. He looks like John the Baptist, big red beard. So as he gets closer and closer to me, I see he's got a red shirt on. It says Jesus Saves, and he's got a cross. So I ask if I can take his picture. He said yes. Long story short, he became a face. But I said, tell me about yourself. He said, well, one time I got sick, and I lost my eyesight for several months, and people were praying over me, you know, putting their hands on me. My eyesight came back. I said, well, what are you doing now? He said, well, I didn't have transportation, so some veterans gave me a vehicle. I said, okay, what are you doing now? He said, I'm driving across the United States sharing the gospel. So here I am at Mount Rushmore, see this man in a distance walking towards me, and I'm drawn to him. I take his picture, and he tells me this amazing story that God changed his life, and he connected me with him, and he's one of the disciples, apostles, in the Last Supper painting that I did.
Wow. Wow. That is just so beautiful. Well, Bill, what's something you don't want the listeners to miss that's in your book?
I want them to see the majestic nature of our Lord, and how once we began on that journey with him, we began to anticipate things, just like Herb has been alluding to. You begin to expect things to happen. When you see it being played out, you see that the next thing, you're just looking for another miracle, and they happen throughout this book. Once my flight was canceled to get to L.A., and the man in front of me was begging the lady a thing to...
Wow, but see, you can see they're two long stories, wonderful stories.
Yeah.
And they're right there at Kingdom Pursuits again. Bill Morris and Herb Burns. Now, you can go look in Ezekiel 13 because nobody called in. I actually stumped my audience. I can't believe it. They didn't get it. It's in Ezekiel 13, right, that they weren't supposed to wear their magic charms. All right. Thank you for listening to Kingdom Pursuits. Now, stay tuned. Jesus' Junkets is coming right up. What a story about Brother Andrew. And talk about your going all over the country on an adventure and expecting things. You're going to hear all about that coming up next. Stay tuned.